Blog Talk Radio.
And now a brief message from our sponsor. Reality Books presents Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. The author is Marshall Washington Cabinus Abui, the senior great-grandson of Booker T. Washington. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, a message that will change America. Buy your copy today. $20 is all it costs, plus $5 postage and handling. To order your copy of the book written by the great-grandson of Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, send a text message. Include your full name and how many books you would like to purchase. Send to area code 706-399-5006, Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, a message that will change America. Send your text message, including your full name and how many books you would like to purchase, to area code 706-399-5006.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Booker T. Washington Speaks, our weekly African American Family Room Forum. It's your host, Professor Marshall Washington Cabinet Abui, and I am very happy that tonight is Saturday night, so we can have our weekly conversation among family, and that includes all humanity, actually, but particularly those of us that are the products of the diaspora from Africa that had occurred over 400 years ago, and we're still adjusting to the environmental conditions here, not the weather, but the people that brought us over here. We're still trying to figure out how to deal with them. So therefore, our topic for tonight is, should predominantly white public schools be required to conduct Black History Month activities? The idea is that maybe if they learn more about us, they will deal with us in a different way and make it easier for us to deal with them, and we can all go along and get along. But the question is that should they be required, these white schools, predominantly white schools, suburban schools, should they be required by the State Board of Education or even their local county board of education to conduct Black History Month activities? So for all of you who are listening via the internet, and I know there are quite a few of you out there that do listen via the internet, I wish you would call in, even if you can't stay on the program long. Let us hear what you think about this topic. So, we want to go ahead and begin. We want to start by welcoming our veteran panelist. I almost tried to say host panelist because Ms. Bianchi shared an equal amount of airtime with me. You know, we did have a co-moderator several months ago, but he transitioned to go to take care of another situation, opportunity in California. And but we're always glad that you're here, Mr. Bianchi, so we can get the show kicked off. And welcome, and hope you have a good weekend. How are you doing this evening?
Doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing fairly well. I can't complain. The weather's been wonderful. I was able to get out to the golf course just today and stretch my legs and practice my swing. And that made me feel real good. It's been a good weekend, and I'm happy that you're here so we can kick off the show. I'm waiting for others to join. But you did hear the topic. What are your thoughts on that question?
Well, what was the topic again?
Okay, I'll repeat it. Should predominantly white public schools, and I'm really thinking about public schools that are in the suburbs, predominantly white public schools, should they be required to conduct Black History Month activities?
No, or if they don't want to.
Okay,
they shouldn't have to.
But the Board of Education for the district basically determines these types of activities, if I'm not mistaken. And the Board of Activities, usually when they make a policy for the whole district. And I know for a fact that here in Georgia, in this county where I am located, they do have predominantly white schools here, even though a large percentage of the schools are majorly Black schools. But the Board of Education, when they set up these curriculum and activity agendas, they're usually district-wide. So if the district says that they're going to have a Black History Month activity through February, as far as I know, the individual white schools can't opt out. But the question is, should they be allowed to opt out? And you just answered the question that they shared in your opinion. Did you want to elaborate on that? Jack, did you want to elaborate on that answer you gave?
If the parents don't want that, they gotta, then they don't have to subject their children to it.
Well, that's true too, but now what would be the recourse for the parents? They can't tell the principal to do something that is in conflict with the orders he gets from the Board of Education. So if the Board of Education makes a policy for the whole district, then the parents would have to convince the Board of Education to change the district's policy, if I'm not mistaken. Now, I want to bring in someone else, Savannah. I know you're not feeling tops tonight, and I know you may not stay all long, and you may just want to listen, but since you've taught in the Richmond County school system, maybe you have some knowledge about this. If the Board of Education makes a district-wide policy to have Black History Month activities, can individual schools opt out of these activities, as far as you know?
Oh, I'm not sure about that. I don't know.
You're not? Okay. All right. I don't know either. And but I would think that the Board of Education, when they investigate different opportunities to have curriculum changes, their changes probably would be general for the school system, not just for individual schools to pick and choose, you know, their own curriculum. Like the private schools obviously can do that, but the board seems like that they have to carry out certain statewide mandates, along with what Ms. Bianchi mentioned, is that, you know, the parents can petition the board for certain changes and certain additions and certain elimination. But it just seems to me, I can be wrong. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me read something to you. This is chapter 160 in Missouri Revised Statute. These are the laws, the standing statutes for the state of Missouri. They are laws of the state of Missouri.
Okay.
No community can make a law which is more stringent than these laws. In chapter 160, well, title 11, Education and Libraries, chapter 160, subchapter 160.516, curriculum, textbooks, and other instructional materials not to be mandated by state board or department, exceptions, appendix. So it goes on to say, paragraph number one, notwithstanding the provisions of section 160.514, the State Board of Education and the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education shall not be authorized to mandate and are expressly prohibited from mandating the curriculum, textbooks, or other instructional materials to be used in public schools. Each local school board shall be responsible for the approval and adoption of curriculum used by the school district. Then it goes on to say, the provision of this subsection shall not apply to schools and instructional programs administered by the State Board of Education and Department of Elementary and Secondary Education or to school districts that are classified as unaccredited. Number two, it says the State Board of Education and the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education shall not require districts to use any appendix to the Common Core state standards. So, if the parents want to have a particular curriculum in their school district, they're the ones that elect the board. And they're the ones that hires the super. Well, the superintendent operates under the pleasure of the board. But the parents and the stakeholders of that community, that local community, that's what they want. That's what the board has to do. If they don't do it, then you need to get rid of them.
Well, let me just say this much. Yeah, I got that. And I was already aware that the autonomy of the state of the poverty, the local boards of education is pretty sacrosanct. But the point, my point is that if, as in the case here in this particular county, you have
that's in Georgia. I can't tell you about Georgia. You can look it up. I doubt very seriously it's much different, but I don't know.
You know what the point is? Let me just mention this. The point is that if the school district administration makes a policy that there will be some Black History Month activities in the schools. Now, this is not state. This is the local district board of education. Should that policy have a loophole where individual schools can opt out of it? That was my question.
Well, yes, they can. Parents can send a note to the teacher and say that they don't want their child to participate in Pledge Allegiance. Then they have to let them stand outside while the activity goes on.
The state legislature
pays the school district and buildings for flying the American flag.
Yeah.
You know, so if parents don't want their child participating in that activity, then they got a right to have their child sit out, no matter
what the
activity is.
But the issue is not whether the child can individually be opted out. The issue is whether the whole school can opt out.
Well, you might have some that want to. Then you may have a whole school that don't want to.
Well, that's the whole point. Let's see, that's really what we're talking about here. What we're talking about, and let me welcome my guest from the 815 area code. Last three numbers of your phone number are 120. Welcome to the African American Family Room Forum. And before I make the comment I was about to make, let me just mention the topic in case you weren't aware of it. The topic is, should predominantly white public schools be required to conduct Black History Month activities? Now, let me just kind of bring you up to date. Maybe you were listening, but our other veteran panelists, and we just were joined again by another veteran panelist, but Mr. Bianchi, if you want to say what you said in response to the question, that's fine, but let me just go ahead and summarize it. He was saying this up to the parents, and if the parents don't want to have the Black History Month activities, then the school shouldn't have it. And I said, but district makes the policy for the schools to have Black History Month activities. Can individual schools say to the district, count us out, we don't want to have Black History Month activities because we are 99% white and we don't care about having those kind of activities? Should they be allowed to opt out like that, or should they have to go along with the district general program to have these activities? You can go ahead and chime in.
Here's the thing, Marshall. If a child is not sitting in a desk, and I don't know what it is in your state, if that child's not sitting in the desk at 11:30 in the morning when they count the heads, that building gets no money from the state. So parents have the power to keep their child out of their classroom, and they have the power to affect the purse string. They also rule the board. It's the parents that rule the board. That's what the state law says in Missouri. It's not the board of education. It's not the elementary and secondary school district. It's the local community that says what the curriculum is, what the textbooks are, and what other instructional materials are. And those other entities cannot mandate that.
Right. Well, we got that. And I want to go ahead and let our other guest chime in from the 815 area code. Your last three numbers of your phone number, 120. And hopefully you did get the gist But what we're talking about and the question is not about individual families. That's where the schools can tell the district that makes a general policy in terms of having these Black History Month activities that they don't want to do it because they're predominantly white. Should they be allowed to get away with that? And I didn't mean to put it harshly, but should they be allowed to say, look, we're white people, we don't care about Black history, and even though that 90% of the schools in this district are Black, we're not, and we don't want to be having to have these activities. Even if we got one or two Black kids in the school, should they have their freedom to do that? So that's all I want to say. So our caller from 815, what do you think? Our caller from the 815 area code. Your last three digits of your phone number. 120. If you're on the line, what is your amount? Okay. If you come back on, you may be away from your phone. We'll come back to you. Okay, so it's better not see you left. You join us again. And we pretty much hashed out Quentin Bianchi and myself the question. He's given his opinion. I haven't offered an opinion yet. I wanted to hear what others had to say. But did you want to add anything else to explain? Okay. Well, that's because I hadn't put the mic on. So give me a second, Sister Vader. Okay. Your mic is on now. So what do you think, Sister Vader? Do you want to add something to what you said before?
Okay, I'm here. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm looking, you know, I understand what Mr. Chianti is saying, and I guess if a person is in a predominantly white school district, I guess they would probably want to know how are their children going to benefit from learning anything or celebrating Black History Month. And there are some Black people even now who are of the opinion, they're like, hey, we should have moved on beyond this Black history celebrating version in the 21st century. It's not respected as it was in the past, and they don't really see a need for it. Some African Americans feel that way. They feel that, you know, it's not showing a maturity on the part of the African American community. So despite the fact that recognition for so many inventions in America are due to African Americans of slave descent, and people don't even know. So my personal feeling is that everyone should be made aware of the things and the contributions that African Americans have made to this society and to this country, because they're very significant in terms of growth and development. People like Dr. Carruthers, on the light spectrum, that kind of thing, you know, not too many people know. You know, there are so many others, so. But I guess if I were a white parent and I didn't want my child to participate in any Black studies programs, I guess it would be the same if I were a Black parent and didn't want my child to participate in any Shakespearean festivals or something at school. You know, I don't know. Or celebrating European American History Month. Or something. I don't know how people are thinking today. I don't have any children in school, and probably don't even have to pay school tax anymore. But if I'm paying money for school taxes, I would want my voice to be heard. And I guess it's up to the individual schools. I was trying to contact one of my friends who's still teaching to see if she could give me more clarity about Richmond County. Just not feeling too well tonight, so I'm not at my best tonight as far as speaking. But I don't know what you had said before, Imam, about what your opinion was.
Well, let me just chime in. I don't want you to talk too much. I know you're not feeling well, and I know that it's probably a blessing for us that you even wanted to participate tonight, but I can take the load off, if you will. Allow me to just say something about my personal opinion. But before I do, I want to bring some more clarity to the question. A lot of times, if the question is not real clear, we get a lot of diverse opinions that really don't connect dots. And I want to just make sure we understand the question. The question deals with the schools in a district that has, I won't use the word mandated, but has put on the district school calendar that the district schools will have Black History Month activities. And in this district, and this is true right here in our Richmond County, there are a number of predominantly white schools in this county, even though the majority of schools now are increasingly becoming predominantly African American. For various reasons, the white citizens still control the district, the school board of education. But the majority of students in the schools are becoming increasingly Black schools. So there are Black History Month activities that still go on. Now the question is whether or not the white schools can opt out and tell the district as schools, not as individual parents. Now that's the point. Not as individual parents saying they don't want the kid in the class with a Black History Month program or the auditorium or the gym, but can the whole school say, we don't want to participate. We are majority, 99% white, and we don't want to be in that. Take us off the schedule. Can they do that? Should they be able to do that? That was the question. Now, okay, you asked about my opinion. Now here's my opinion. First of all, if you start that particular slippery slope, then somebody can start a movement and go around and get the Black parents to go to Board of Education open meetings and protest against teaching about history that excludes Black people, like predominantly white history, like the politics of the government of the state of Georgia, where we're located, as you know, Ms. Bianca, we're down here in Southern America in Georgia. The politics of 1850 in the state of Georgia did not include any Negroes in terms of any political office holders. And yet, students that go to school in Georgia, particularly college, they have to study Georgia history. It's about the white people that own Black people. So if we use that other, I guess you might say, axiom, that the white people could say, well, we don't want to learn about Black people's history, then the Black families could say, well, take out the Georgia history about that period of American history where we were not in a political situation of any influence. We don't want to hear about it. And then you open the door for the Indian, American Indians, to say, well, we were totally excluded pretty much after 1870. And, you know, after y'all put us on a reservation. So we don't want to hear about what y'all white folks were doing in America. And you could see where that would develop. You wouldn't have any type of central type of a curriculum as far as history was concerned. So that's my opinion. I personally say that if the Board of Education, after doing surveys and having open meetings and stuff like that, and listening to all sides, if they say for whatever reason, that this is going to be the policy for this district, you know, I think everybody's going to have to participate. And whatever benefit or no benefit comes to them is going to be a matter of the personal concern of those people. But I think the district should not allow individual schools to start breaking up the general curriculum, especially on something like that, because then you could have all kinds of people say, we don't want to do this. And then you wouldn't even have any kind of history at all. That's my point.
Well, do Georgia history include all those black slaveholders, owners?
It sure does.
So Georgia, that's what I'm saying. If you, Georgia history also had African black slaveholders, if you want to call them black.
I haven't read about
that. A lot of them in the South, a lot of them, huh?
I say I haven't read about black slaveholders in Georgia yet.
Well, wait a minute now. I hear blacks always saying, well, they leave us out of the history books. All right? So if they put, if they sell that, if you find a book that sells that story, I mean, that problem, and it mentions about both sides of the coin, because you notice, you know, I complain all the time, but the only one side of the coin is being told. And we know that blacks had slaves because they participated in the business. It was a business.
I don't know if they had them down here in Georgia, or they might have had them in Missouri, but I don't know about Georgia.
Well, you say you don't know about Georgia.
No, I'm going to find out. Look, I work in an academic library, and this is a major state university. I do have resources.
How close are you to Louisiana?
You know, I have to jump three states to get over there.
How close are you to North and South Carolina?
Well, North Carolina and South Carolina, they just stayed above where I am. I mean, it's like a 3-hour drive to get up there.
All right. Well, South Carolina had black slaveholders. The census, Lloyd's Insurance Company, they talk about that. And, you know, I told you about the other books, too. So if you're going to have a history book, history about, if people complain about the history of Georgia and that you're trying to get whites to study Black History Month, or should I say Black History, and they don't want to, well, then the only alternative, I guess, is put everything in the history book, including that. But, you know, I have a problem trying to make somebody learn something about you in particular. Now, if you got a book on American history, that's a different thing. But in Missouri, the law gives the community the power to have whatever textbooks that they want, whatever structure material they want, whatever curriculum they want, as long as your kids can, at the level that they are at, that they can do that level's work in math, reading, and arithmetic. I'm sorry, arithmetic, reading, and writing.
Well, let me just cut in for a minute. I wasn't really talking about the regular curriculum in the school. I was just talking about these special activities that they have during Black History Month. And
well, if a special activity is not part of the lesson plan for their level, just like Halloween celebration wouldn't be, or just like Thanksgiving or Christmas, Easter, then I guess it wouldn't make no difference. I mean, it's not required anyway, right?
Well, yeah, but if the schools have been told, and I don't know if this county board of education has done that, but I'm just saying if the school has been told to provide at least one day, 2-hour period on your school's calendar for a Black History Month, for Native American History Month, for a Latino History Month, and so forth, and that's on the calendar for all the schools to do it, can the school Like,
well, you know,
we don't want to have those activities over here.
In Philadelphia and several other states, it's mandatory, so they say. I don't see how they do that. That you teach the Holocaust, which is something that didn't even occur on U.S. soil.
Well, again.
Oh, and also, you know, now they're coming out where you got to teach the history of LGBT.
Well, I want to say this. I think Black History Month is all about selfhood, and I think that we're still evolving as a people in terms of what our selfhood is, whereas other people have come here to America, and everybody that's come here has benefited from our free labor that was provided to establish this country and make it what it is today. And we're still evolving. And if people don't want their children to understand that the culture here in America is African-American culture, then that's okay, you know, because we're still evolving. And it doesn't really bother me that people don't want to learn anything about African-American history, because I know my history about, I know what my ancestors have contributed to the growth and development of this country. And as far as the LGBT community is concerned, I see this government using what Black people died and suffered for as far as civil rights are concerned. They're trying to take that and use that to establish something that's totally ludicrous. You know, it's just too much craziness going on. And we're still evolving our selfhood, who we really are. And our history speaks for itself. You know, that old saying, let my work speak for me. Well, our ancestors, they contributed their history. But it seems like someone wants to take our history and sweep it under the rug like it never existed. And that is not correct. And for that reason, I would disagree with any school district not wanting to recognize the contributions of African Americans to American society. They're wrong. They will be wrong. All it would be doing for me showing their true, pure white supremacy mentality, the God complex. And I tend to think that a lot of Caucasian people in America are suffering from a God complex. That's all I have
to say. Mr. Baena, the
yes, sir.
Situation. Yeah, let me just point this out. The scenario that I actually brought up was where the school district did say that there would be Black history activities in the schools. Not that they said there would not be, but where the school district, like, for example, the Richmond County, Georgia Board of Education, they said there would be a Black History Month activities in the schools. The question mark is not related to the district, except that the district made this policy. The question mark is whether these white suburban schools as schools can say, we're not going to do it. And the question is, should they be able to say that we prefer or we're not going to do it? We're not going to have it. So it's not about
You got one county in Georgia where the parents have all white proms.
Yeah, but they're off campus. They're not really on the campus grounds, but I heard.
You're absolutely right. They're off campus. And you have people that complain about that. So why don't you leave those folks? Why don't they leave those people alone? They're not doing anything illegal.
No, I know, but that's not really the same question. This question is,
I know it's not the same question.
I know, but I'm just, this is what I'm talking about is,
it's still about selfhood. It's still about selfhood.
Oh, okay. Well, let me respond to
European American selfhood, Irish American selfhood, Welsh American selfhood, Italian American selfhood. So, you know, African American selfhood. So, if the history was being taught the way it was actually, the way it actually happened, then there would be no need for us to have a Black History Month to make people aware. So, there's still so much injustice still going on in this country. It's ridiculous.
Well,
and
you know,
you
I was telling.
Well, now you got the LGBT people getting on board and, what I see happening is just so, wow, you have transsexuals reading stories now in the library because you're preconditioning people to accept this as normal human behavior, and it's not. And
yeah,
you're using the civil rights and black history to help establish this craziness that's going on in America now, dressing boys up like girls and girls up like boys, and that's not normal. That's something satanic, and there's something satanic in the school system. So if there's a school system out there, whether it's black or white, and they don't want people to recognize African History Month or people enslaved to sit in America, there's something wrong with those people. There's something wrong with them. They need to move away and go somewhere and live by themselves. Maybe they want to be separatists. They maybe want to be separatists. Matter of fact, I think integration destroyed the black community. That's why we don't have any businesses in our community anymore. Integration destroyed us. That's how I see that.
Yeah. Well, there you are, Marshall. I think that trying to make whites want to whites study and celebrate black history is imposing upon their liberty to do so if they want and not to do so if they want. Heck, you got white women that's married to black men.
What does that have to do with anything, Mr. Keyati? What are you saying?
They at one time made history too.
Yeah, they used to string those white women up string them up just like they did the black people. You know, they string the black men up, they string the white women up too. If they were involved with white men, they hang them from the trees too. They sure did.
I'm gonna tell you, there's some elements of blacks in the United States that want whites to do everything. Because just like I read the law says you can have any textbooks you want. And I was talking with a guy last night. He was talking about American history.
You probably don't feel that black people deserve any kind of reparations either, do you?
Do I think they deserve reparations?
Uh-huh.
Who's going to pay for it? And that's not the topic. But
the government's going to pay for it the same way they're paying for stuff over there in Israel. Why are we paying for Israel to have anything?
Let me jump in for a minute. The reparations are going to be a topic for another forum in the future.
Okay.
I mean, it is a topic that can be discussed here because I've heard a lot of people over the last 50 years, but that's not what we really talking about tonight. In fact, I think we kind of exhausted our topic for tonight. I just want to give my final commentary really quick. Number one, now, if I don't want to have my family members read about how the white settlers massacre the Pequot Indians or other tribes that they massacred from the day one almost of the Pilgrims coming to America.
Uh-huh.
Because it might give me an inferiority complex because my family have Indian descent heritage.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Then I should be able to say to the principal, when y'all cover the period talking about the colonization of America, not just that 50-year period of them exterminating the Pequot Indians up there in Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, but the whole time from 1492 up until y'all stopped doing it, which didn't even end until the 1880s, that whenever y'all cover those lessons in the classroom, I don't want my kids to have to sit in on those lessons. I mean, if we...
What lessons is that? About the settlement of the country?
Yeah. I don't want anybody to have to.
You had the well. What about the Westwood? What about the Westwood?
And what it stands for? I don't want anybody up in the classroom. I don't want a Caucasian history teacher up in my high school talking about slavery was a good thing. And,
well, you
and
got
the whole generation of people that's not correct either.
What about the settlers that was? What was about the settlers that was headed out west that was massacred by some tribes like the Cheyenne?
The reason why
they probably was cannibals. That's why they slaughtered them because they were cannibals. Weren't those people cannibals, Mr. Kiyake?
I don't know.
Wait. Let me say that.
Yeah, they got a history of cannibalism out west. The Midwest and the West. They were cannibals. Those Caucasian European American people were cannibals.
But Diana, let me respond to Ms. Bianchi. The reason why we did that to those Irish settlers, Scotch-Irish settlers and others, is because they were killing our food supply, trying to starve us to death. So we had to eliminate the threat of extinction. That's why we had to massacre them, because they were really trying to get rid of us so they could take our land. So that's my position as a part of it.
Well, that's not – well, then you also had – for instance, when Lincoln went to Oliver Ames in 1865, I believe it was, he had discussions on this earlier about the Transcontinental Railroad. And you had another gentleman by the name of Isaac Dodge, I believe his name was. He went to Ames about heading up the project of running the railroad from the east to the west. And on the way out there, because you had the railroad started from the east going out, that's the Union Pacific. Then you had the Pacific Railroad, which was headed up by a guy by the name of I can't think of this guy's name. Judah. His last name was Judah. He was coming from Sacramento, and the Union Pacific, I think, started right outside of Iowa, somewhere around Missouri. Well, the Native Americans, you had Native Americans that was working with the whites, and I can't think of the tribe. And then you had those who was fighting against the whites. And the ones that was working with the whites thought it was okay what was going on. See, if you're going to tell the story, you got to tell the story both. You had Native Americans that collaborated with the settlers because the settlers could provide them with guns in their warfare against other natives.
But that was only until they realized that those people were cannibals. Because once they found
man,
those
nobody.
People were cannibals, they were trying to get away from those people.
Why would they be cannibals? They had plenty of buffalo to eat.
Because they like human flesh, because it tastes sweet.
All right, well, yeah. I don't
but
know about that.
We've reached a point, but we're not really talking about the topic anymore, so we can continue on these new topics in the future. But I want to thank everyone that's been participating, either as a listener on the internet or those who did on the telephonic conference. And we've not really come to any kind of resolution, except, Ms. Frank, you have a good point about the individual families being correct in putting pressure on the district if they don't want certain things to happen in their children's schools. But the question
is, they control the district. They elect the board.
But if the majority of people in the district, which in this case, if they would go to these meetings in this district where we are, they're African-Americans. And if they were to go to the meetings, they may say, yes, we want to have a policy for the district to have African-American history. And the real question is, if they do that, should the minority, which are these white people, be able to say, well, we're not going to have it in our schools in the district? And that's,
they
that
should be
question.
Able to say it. Yes, it's in their district. They're,
yeah, but
they're true.
It's going to be district wide. For the whole district, can these individual white schools say we're not going to participate? That was my question.
Yes, they could. Yes, they could say that. And also, what they should say, and you couldn't have no special activities if your grades are at a certain level.
Well, these are school wide, so everybody, even the people that's flocking out, have to stop, you know, for an hour or two.
No, it would be school wide, and your participation in it is that the grades are up to snuff. Like I was mentioning, a school in St. Louis where only 10% of the third graders are reading at level, well, they wouldn't be able to participate because they need to be working on their reading level.
Yeah, but that's a new process. I hadn't heard that that was going to be a requirement to have these programs, that the school has to have certain standardized test scores or reading level scores.
Absolutely. The kids are failing.
Have you heard of any school district that had that policy?
No, but the emphasis should be on the students learning.
I know, but no school district so far has said that.
Just like an athlete can't participate on the team if his grades ain't a certain level.
Yeah, but we're talking about a whole school that has a failure rate, the whole school. Not being able to have special
then
events.
That school shouldn't be able to go on field trips. Maybe their recess need to be shortened and more time with their heads in the classroom.
Maybe they should make them go to school on Saturdays like the Japanese.
That's a good point. Maybe the school day should be lengthened. The whole thing is what's the use of going to school if you come out and you're not beneficial to society?
Well, what's the use of going to school if when you get home, by the time you start playing with your video game, you forgot everything you learned in school?
Well, you ain't in school then. I mean, that's a whole different environment.
Yeah,
that's a household.
If you can't remember what you spend 8 hours a day being taught, because it takes you 15 minutes once you get engaged in a video game to do a complete computer what do they call it? Clear your computer. What do they call it? You're an engineer. What do you call it when you just wipe out everything? I can't remember the word.
You just wipe it out. Yeah.
That's what happens.
You reformat.
Yeah. You know, that's what happens. As soon as they get home and they get on the video game, or even as soon as they get on the sandlot basketball court or whatever kind of court they have. We have sandlot. Some people have asphalt. But after 15 minutes of being engaged in that game, those kids are not thinking about history lessons.
Well, I don't know about that, but all I say is that I don't think you can make anybody do anything along those lines if they don't want to do it. Leave them alone.
Yeah, well, I personally think they should have left me alone teaching me about the European slaughter of my Indian forefathers. But
well,
you know,
how have you tried to get in on the casino windfall with that tribe?
No, because I don't support gambling. I really don't.
You don't support gambling. You don't support getting in on the windfall of the casino because you don't support gambling, but you want Europeans in all white school buildings to participate in Black history, even though they don't want to.
I didn't say they should support Black history if they don't want to. I said if the school district says that they should all do it, then everybody needs to get on board with the policy or work to change the policy. Because personally, I love teaching Black history to white kids because I think they need to understand that they are not the ones that did all the good things in America. Because right now, most kids, when they come out of white high school, they think that in the whole world, from the beginning of time, they are the only people doing anything worth talking about.
And I understand that because I have two nephews. When they were in middle school, they came home and told me they thought the civil rights movement was something that somebody made up. And I asked them, who told you that? One of their educators told them some mess like that in the school. This is crazy. It's crazy.
Well, everybody's got civil rights. Whites, any American citizen has civil rights.
After, we're talking about the Martin Luther King era.
Okay,
yeah,
that's
what I'm talking about. So, you know, that wasn't just for African Americans, because what African Americans stand for, we stand for the whole planet. Okay, we want equal rights for everybody.
But let me
that's
say
a, that's
something.
The difference between African Americans of slave descent and other people on this planet. That's what makes us so special.
But Sister Bailey, can I make this comment before we close?
Sure, I'm sorry.
No, you just triggered a comment. I think one of the things that's happened in the last 30 years, 40 years, is that the black people who had a legitimate fight to become free from oppression, discrimination based on color, and subjugation to very unfair laws, black codes, and so forth, have let that train go by them when they was just almost had both feet up on the train, getting ready to ride to freedom, and decided to jump off the train and say, we're not getting on the train until everybody in the world can be on the train. And everybody in the world have not been deprived like we have.
And all blacks weren't deprived like that either.
Well, I know a lot of my forefathers.
Well, the majority of us were. The majority were.
I never gave a count, but I don't know.
If I take a child away from his parents and I raise him a certain way all his life, he's going to think that's normal. He's not going to realize that he is a slave. He won't even know his language. He won't know anything about his past. He won't even think that he's different from his master.
You know there was white slaves too, right?
His master had pain. He feel he got to have pain too.
Yeah, you know, slavery in the beginning didn't have nothing to do with skin color.
Yeah, but that was on.
Or even guess what? Or it didn't have anything. It didn't have anything to do with skin color nor class. A quote unquote richer person could find himself as being in that predicament too.
Yeah, but in America,
they used to take those poor white people and tan them and sell them for slaves. There was no
white slaves after 1700, Mr. Bianca. That's the
yes, it was
fact.
Too.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of the Barbary? Have you ever heard of the Barbary?
Yes.
I'm talking about the United States. I'm not talking about over there.
Well, I couldn't tell you if there was slaves after a certain period in the United States. I know Irish. They had a problem.
Yeah, but in the United States, after 1700, the law which allowed people to hold slaves, the only people that could be slaves were black people. They didn't even let the Indians be slaves.
No, the courts ruled that blacks could own slaves, too, in Virginia. Keep talking. I'll find that for you.
I'm talking about who could be a slave. They didn't have no white slaves after 1700. Because slavery was a legal status, and that legal status was regarded only for black people. After 1700, now maybe up to that point, then you could have some white.
Well, it's because there was no laws against slavery. I mean, it was a practice in the world.
Yeah, but
and,
I'm talking
people
in
still don't. Some way I listen to people talk about it, I think they want to do it again.
Yeah, well, you already had it. Contract prison. I mean, contract.
That's a different. That's not slavery.
I don't know.
They get paid.
Slavery does not appear in the U.S. Constitution. So constitutionally, since the beginning of America, constitutionally, I'm not saying about state law, but constitutionally, there was no such thing as slavery in the American Constitution. But what they call it is involuntary servitude, and they still have a provision for involuntary servitude if you are convicted of a crime. So you could call it involuntary servitude instead of calling it slavery, but it amounts to the same thing. And it's increasing every year. You know,
the word slavery is mentioned in the Constitution. It's mentioned in the 13th Amendment.
It doesn't say slavery, Mr. Piaki. It says involuntary servitude.
That's after slavery. If you don't, involuntary servitude is the other option other than slavery. It says neither slavery.
I'm not slavery. About the word in the Constitution. But if you would like, I'm not trying to get into an argument with you about the word in the Constitution.
No, you said the word slavery wasn't in the U.S. Constitution. It is.
I'm getting ready to pull up the Constitution. I will admit if I'm wrong when I finish pulling it up. I will admit.
You know what Marcus Garvey said, don't you?
What was that?
He said, I have yet to find a Negro that will follow the complete instructions of another Negro.
Okay, all right. Look, we're going to close the amendment. I just
read the 13th Amendment. Slavery, the word slavery is there.
I'm getting ready to read it right now as soon as I get to it. Just give me 1 second. I'm almost there. You know, I could have gone straight to the amendments, but I'm all the way to the whole Constitution. So.
Yeah, just go to the amendment.
For some reason or another, I wanted to go the long way around. But yeah, I'll just go to the amendments. Just give me a second. So go to the amendments. All right, amendments to the Constitution. Amendments to the Constitution. Got to do another. Ms. Bain, are you still there? Bain is still there, but she's quiet. Amendments to the Constitution.
Yes, I'm still here. I was about to
Google
slavery in the Constitution, but I didn't do it yet.
Well, I'm getting ready to pull up the amendments. That's what we're talking about. Because, Yeah, okay, list of amendments. Okay, I'm into the amendments. Now, let's go to the amendments one by one. Oh, man. Ratified amendments. Okay, it's what the amendments do, but I got to get the whole text of the amendment. Okay, oh, you know what? Ms. Pianke, I admit I might be wrong. I'm going to go ahead because I do see in this synopsis it says it abolishes slavery. However, that is not what I was looking for. I was looking for the extra text. So I just put 13th Amendment. We're going straight to the 13th Amendment. Okay, 13th Amendment. Amendment 13. Okay. You're right, Ms. Pianke. I was wrong. Ms. Pianke.
Yes.
I will admit when I'm wrong. I have no problem admitting when I'm wrong. It does say neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime, party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist in the United States. So I stand corrected.
It's in Article 1, too.
Okay, I stand corrected. You're right.
13th Amendment, which is an amendment, and it's in the first 10 commitment, 10 articles, Article 1, Section 2.
Yeah, okay. Look. So we have slavery. And we have involuntary servitude. And according to what I just read, the way I read it, if a person is convicted of a crime, they could be put in slavery. Now, is that correct in your opinion?
No, it's involuntary.
Okay, well.
Slavery was abolished by the 13th Amendment.
Okay, well. Now, here's what it says now. It says neither slavery nor involuntary servitude except as punishment for crime. Well,
involuntary servitude, except as punishment of crime. Then they're going to lock you up and you can't get out.
They said neither slavery nor involuntary servitude shall exist unless you've been convicted of a crime. That gives me the impression that if you've been convicted of a crime, you could be sentenced to slavery or involuntary servitude. But I could be wrong. I'm not a constitutional lawyer. But anyway, I think we've had a good time. I'm glad we got to that point, even though we got off of that.
You know, here's the thing. Who in the world wants to take a criminal and have to feed them?
They do it every day. Every jailhouse in America, every prison.
That's a prisoner.
Well, it's a form of modern-day slavery.
No, they're not. They're not made to go out and pick cotton.
No, they're manufacturing stuff behind those walls. Behind those walls.
No, not necessarily.
They're making lamps. They're making all kinds of stuff behind those walls. It's modern-day slavery.
Mr. Pianchi.
So is credit.
Let me tell Mr. Pianchi a real quick story. I have a friend who was in prison in Alabama for dealing drugs. And listen to me now. I was a prison chaplain in Alabama for about a year. And that's how I met this guy, because he was in prison in the group that I ministered to. And when he was within a month or so of getting released, you know, they made those prisoners work. They didn't have a choice. They got the prisoners up, and they sent them out to the work. And this guy, they made him work so hard, they was trying to get him to snap and assault one of the guards so they could give him some more time. And he would tell me that he was at his stretching point. He was at his breaking point. And I would pray with him that he wouldn't snap, but he would keep him in jail. So I don't know about the Missouri prison system.
Yeah, but he was getting ready to get out, right? Slavery, you couldn't get out of that, could you?
But I'm saying, but they can make you work in prison.
Well, they keep you healthy.
Regardless, you were saying at first that they could not make you work.
And, you know, here's another thing. You got to pay restitution some way or another.
Oh,
yeah, but
goodness.
I just want to correct that one point. They can make you work.
Yeah, they can make you work in order to help pay for your being there.
Regardless,
or they get some kind of...
Of the people in prison, Mr. Kiyake, because they have those people's parents, relatives sending them money to the jail. You know, they're making prison is nothing but a money making business. That's all
yeah,
it is.
But
it's a
that's
the
cover. That's supposed to be to cover the cost.
Yeah. Well, part of it is for punishment. Like when they tell you when you go to military prison, they take you out to a rock pile.
Now that's a whole different thing there.
Well, I'm still. I mean, they make you work to hard labor to punish you.
Yeah, but military justice is different from civil justice, civilian justice.
No, we talk about military law and the prisoners.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Military laws, military adjudication is different than civil adjudication.
I would not be surprised if somewhere in the United States. They did not have prisoners breaking big rocks into little rocks for hard labor.
I think it's good.
They're only working in some of these rock quarries around here.
Yep, I think that's good for them. Keep them healthy.
But look, I tell you what, let's go ahead and close out on that. That's a nice fun note. What do y'all think?
Oh my gosh!
Now.
Hmm.
Let me make a public announcement on the 23rd of September. I'm sorry, 23rd of February. We will not have a show on the 23rd of February. Plan on us not having a show. I have a speaking engagement that evening, and so I won't be available to do the show on the 23rd.
Let us come with you so your friends can see who you roll with.
Yeah, come on over here to Georgia. If you want to come over here, we're going to have a good time over there. Everybody's going to be dressed up like Africans. Anyway, yeah, I hope y'all have been enjoying the show as much as I have. And we're going to go ahead and close. And we'll look forward to getting back together next week. But the week after that, we won't be here. But next week, we're going to have some more fun. So we'll see y'all then. Have a good evening, everybody. Enjoy.
All right, bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.